Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That with Ron Say and Mike Gary. And Mike, we are now 1 month into the new football season, college and professional, and I want to thank the 49ers for gift wrapping the victory last week against the Rams, of which they had this game under control with 6 minutes to go, and absolutely everything came apart. So congratulations to the Rams for a wonderful comeback, and Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas indeed. It's been a heck of a couple days here in sports-wise, too. What's going on with Travis Kelce? And also, what's up with that triple play that we saw?
Yeah, I guess the Dodgers did not want a bunt. And look what happens when you can't execute fundamental plays. One that cost them, but they came back and won the next night. And, you know, these races are getting excited. Both leagues have four of the six participants ready to go, and the rest of the wildcard teams will be battling through the weekend. And I think the Mets have the toughest way to go. They have a doubleheader postponed against the Atlanta Braves that's now going to take place on next Monday after the completion of the regular season. And it's a doubleheader to decide who's going to go.
That's appointment baseball watching right there. That's God. For all the marbles. Yeah, and I should add, too, sadly, that the hated and vile Astros have clinched their division once again, 4 years in a row.
They came from 10 back and at the All-Star break, and look where they are. And that's another, unfortunate gift rack package from the Seattle Mariners.
Oh, God.
Well, at least the Seahawks won.
At least the Seahawks
won. They're at top of that division, but you know, we saw some baseball history this last week. Shohei Ohtani, unbelievable year that he's had. 50 home runs, 50 stolen bases. He has a miraculous game to accomplish all of that. And what they didn't even mention is that he set an all-time record for home runs in a season and an all-time record for runs batted in a game.
All-time Dodger records. Went for 6-for-6 in that game where he got 50-50.
Unbelievable.
And maybe he'll get to 56 because that's Ichiro's stolen base record.
Well, maybe so. But anyway, wonderful accomplishment. Congratulations, Shohei. And as we move on, big games this college weekend. We've got Oregon at UCLA at the Rose Bowl for our local fans. Yeah. And we've also got Wisconsin playing the Trojans at the Coliseum on the same day. And don't forget, the biggest game of the weekend is number 2 Georgia at number 4 Alabama. We'll be right back. We'll see about that right after this. Okay, it's now time to join our Financial Coach's Corner with Brad Kreger. And Brad, we've seen a lot of technical charts lately. Is there any way to simplify that for us?
Yeah, thanks for that, Ron. I appreciate it. If we can pull up that first chart and look at that, what this shows, and I'm going to read this so I get this correct. This is basically just a hypothetical. We're intended to illustrate the implications of compounding losses on long-term portfolio returns. The HAIR portfolio's annual returns are based on, in part, on actual historical market data. They have been rounded to the closest even number. The tortoise portfolio's annual returns are exactly one half of the HAIR. So what you're going to see here is that I'm basically have taken on the year one, for instance, you've got a 26.46 rate of return. You get to 100,000. We start off at, we're now at 126,000. The tortoise portfolio, you get 13.23. Is it 113.230? And we keep going down and we have losses and gains, exactly one half of what the Hare's portfolio. At the end, what you'll see is that the Hare portfolio is less than the tortoise portfolio. What this basically demonstrates is that losses are incredibly more powerful in the long term against your portfolio. If you can pull up that next slide, we talks about Warren Buffett. He basically says, again, we've seen this. Rule number one, don't lose money. Rule number two, don't forget rule number one. And I'm going to, again, read something that Warren Buffett said to get it right. The line separating investment and speculation, which is never bright and clear, becomes blurred still further when most market participants have recently enjoyed triumphs. Nothing sedates rationality like large doses of effortless money. After a heady experience of that kind, normally sensible people drift into a behavior akin to that of Cinderella at the ball. They know that overstaying the festivities, that is, continuing to speculate in companies that have gigantic valuations relative to the cash they are likely to generate in the future, will eventually bring on pumpkins and mice. But they nevertheless hate to miss a single minute of what is one hell of a party. Therefore, the giddy participants all plan to leave just seconds before midnight. There's a problem, though. They are dancing in a room in which the clocks have no hands. That was Warren Buffett on how investors behave after long periods of gains in the markets. And we have seen that. Our valuations are pretty high. I would suggest that people look at their portfolios and take some of that risk off the table. In the future, I would love to hear from everybody. If you have some questions, shoot us that question at info@crntalk.com. That's it for today, Ron.
All right. There you've heard it on the Financial Coach's Corner. Thanks, Brad.
They still call me the Penguin.
Okay. We have returned from the break, and we are back with our special guest, Adrian Beltre. And Adrian will be receiving a beautiful fruit gift basket courtesy of our friends at Melissa's Produce. Melissa's is the proud partner of We'll See About That. Be sure to use my VIP code RONCE when checking out at melissas.com. It gives me great pleasure to introduce a young man who I met at 17 years old, who had a brilliant career and is a recent inductee to the Baseball Hall of Fame. That being Adrian Beltre. Adrian, nice to see you again. Welcome. And how is your life going in the moment?
Thank you, Ron. Nice to see you too. It was a pleasure. Always a big fan. You always were nice to me when I was coming up. So thank you for having me. And life is good. Can't complain. A little busy with the kids. Being a full dad now, so I'm enjoying every moment of it.
Absolutely. Well, you're still young enough to do that. You're a first ballot Hall of Famer. You accomplished things in the game that very few third basemen accomplished. You were a member of the 3,000 hit club. You were the all-time Dominican hit leader until Albert Pujols matched you in his brilliant career. One of the greatest offensive careers I think I've ever seen in Albert Pujols' career. His career was absolutely phenomenal, up there with all of the great ones. You had 477 home runs. You had a WAR that ranks you as the number three third baseman all time. And I can tell you that I was privileged to be a part of your beginning, the way that you came through the Dodger organization. You signed at 15 years old. I saw you first in Vero Beach, Florida, and I just kind of want to get back to the real, beginnings, growing up in the Santo Domingo, the Dominican Republic, which I had an opportunity to play in back in spring training of 1970s. Tell me what it's like growing up when you have so many great players coming from the Dominican. Was there a lot of pressure to, want to do the same things that other kids had?
No pressure at all. I think that, most of the kids wanted to be the best player in Dominican. There's the people, that's what we know. But it was no pressure to be one. I just, since I was a little kid, this is all I knew. My dad played amateur baseball in Dominican, so for me it was easy to just follow through. But no, it was no pressure to be one. But I just, since I can remember, maybe at the age of 13, that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a ball player. And, you know, I committed to it, and I got lucky enough that I got some, you know, some tools that helped me achieve what I wanted to. But you know, I just loved the game. I loved the game, and I don't think it was pressure at that moment to be a ball player, but I knew that at that age, that's what I wanted to be.
So were the kids that you were hanging out with, did you have any other ones that made it to the major leagues and had success?
No, I think I was the only one out of that pack.
And so was your day centered around all recesses and after school events playing baseball?
Well, I think we just, you know, even when we are at the, what you call the PE hours in the Dominican, we always try to figure out how can we play the sport. You know, we get a little stick and a tennis ball in the back, and that hour will be just trying to figure out how to play baseball. That's all we knew. That's all we wanted to do. So, you know, for us, it was kind of natural, but, you know, you just fall in love with it. And when you love the sport so much, it can be easier just to kind of, you know, have fun with it and try to be good at it.
I remember growing up similarly the same way. You know, I played tennis ball, I played wiffle ball, I played sock ball, you name it, we did it, we tried it, hit left-handed, right-handed, against kids that were older. I remember playing against my Little League baseball coach when I was 12 years old. He was an 18-year-old senior, and we had a wiffle ball league. And I took down the older guys. And my coach was at he couldn't believe that a 12-year-old could strike him out or hit him as easily as I did. But yeah, I just remember so much fun playing those games, learning, playing with the kids every day. I had the same kind of a dream. It became a reality. Now it's a dream again. Has it become a dream again since then for you?
It's difficult to explain. For me, always been a dream just to be able to play the game and enjoy it and play the highest level I could. But at the same time, I knew how difficult it was going to be to get to the big leagues and stay in the big league, because that's everybody, you know, dream to be here. And you know, when you're not performing the way you wanted to or you're not producing, you know that, you know, here come the next one. And I got some tough time in the beginning of my career with the Dodgers here, which I was not producing enough the way I knew I should. And I was afraid that I was going to get replaced or release or trade. But, you know, that's why after I was able to be more consistent playing, I always play like it could be my last day. In the beginning, it was difficult to understand the difference between playing the game because it's a job and playing the game because it's just fun. It was easy for me later on to understand it's just a game, the same game that I was playing back in my neighborhood. It's the same game. Just go out there and enjoy. You know, play right, play hard, you know, play to win. But at the same time, it's just a game. And, you know, for me, was after I understood that, it was a blast just playing the game and enjoying what I do. Because for me, after I changed my mindset, it became easier to just go out there and perform.
I'm happy to hear you say that, because I think we all have to go through an adjustment. You do have to simplify it. You can put a lot of pressure on yourself. This is something that you wanted to do, that you were going to do. I remember being asked, you know, what if baseball hadn't worked out for you? What would you have done? Well, it was going to work out, and I was going to do it, and there was no other second option. You know, this was it.
No plan B, yeah.
Right, and I was determined to make that happen, and I think that's in you too. You know, I didn't have the greatest rookie year. I was very disappointed in my rookie year. I hit 15 home runs, drove in 80, which actually was a club record. I was the National League. I was on the National League's, or actually a Baseball Digest All Rookie Team. So it wasn't all that bad. And I was also the Dodgers Rookie of the Year, but it wasn't where I thought I should be. And there was work to be done. And in your case, you know, it took you a few years to get settled in, and then you had that breakout year in 04 when you hit 48 home runs and drove in 120 some, hit 330. You know, you second the MVP board balloting, and then you accepted a free agent contract, and you went to the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah, correct. Yes, it was not easy. It was not easy my first couple of years, you know, or for you just said your only rookie year. For me, it was literally my first 3.5 years. I always started slow and have to catch up to make a decent season. And at the end of 2023, I had Tim Wallach as a hitting coach, and something clicked. It was not mechanic, it was more mental. You know, he worked with me on the mental side of approach, what should I look for, what should I work at, and being that, having the mindset of being a run producer. So that kind of changed my perception of how I saw things before. And I finished the 2003 season really well, and then that kind of followed through 2004. Even though it's a different theory about that, I had such a great year that year because my front foot or my ankle was kind of messed up, so I couldn't really put a lot of weight on it. And that made my swing a little more compact, and my front foot have to be a little softer, which has helped not to move my head a lot. You know, I can disagree with it, but I can confirm it. But that definitely, I guess, has something to do with it. But that year was the year that I actually felt like I was on the zone the whole year. I just felt right the whole year, and I had that confidence that I'm gonna have a good game every day. So it was a great year for me. You know, it was a great year for me offensively and defensively. But it was not a great year for me after, because I didn't think that I was gonna have to leave LA. I never thought about leaving the Dodgers, but it turned out that way because, you know, it's a business, and sometimes you make mistakes thinking that you're doing the right thing. And I think I was naive at the time, thinking that you know, everything was going to be, you know, easy, and the negotiation was going to be super smooth, but it ended up being that way.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with Hall of Famer Adrian Beltre right after this message.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the pharmacy shop.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call, because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC Rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra-high quality, ultra-reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair, when you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738.
800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Save. Okay, we are back. We'll see about that with our special guest, Hall of Famer Adrian Beltre. And Adrian, you became a free agent after the 04 season. Scott Boras, who was your agent, correct? At that time? You decided to, you know, go up to Seattle, and you spent 5 years in Seattle. And for me, from a distance, it seemed like you never felt that comfortable playing up there. It just seemed like things were a little bit off. Am I incorrect?
No, you're correct. Because in the first reason was that I never wanted to leave LA. So, you know, and then when the negotiation happens, that I was waiting for a contract from the Dodgers and never came until the last, probably the last week. I guess I made a mistake when I was a free agent right before when we were playoff, we lost against St. Louis. And I told the fans, I told an interview, and I told the front office, I'm not going anywhere because I wanted to be here. You know, I live in LA. My wife is born here. We just got a new house. So I guess, you know, going back to those times, I think that the front office tried to use that against me because they knew that I wanted to stay here so bad.
Understood.
So when the negotiation started, you know, they didn't call me for nothing until like December, late December, which back then was like super late. And I had 3 or 4 different teams with good offers. And when the Dodgers came with the offer, it was like 45% less than anybody else. You know, so I couldn't believe it because, you know, I thought that, you know, they wanted me, I wanted to stay. I expressed, you know, that I wanted to stay. But I couldn't do that because, you know, as a baseball player, you know, Ron, you only have one shot of kind of not demanding, but like having a power, being a power position to do what you want to do as a free agent. So I couldn't, even though I wanted to stay so bad, I couldn't just take what they were taking me. I couldn't take that contract. It's going to be really, really, really kind of dumb for me to do. So that kind of forced me to take the Seattle offer, which was that wasn't even the high one. I got 2 other offers higher than that, but I felt like I wanted to stay in the West Coast. But I went to Seattle, I agreed to Seattle, but in my heart, I felt like I was making a mistake. I never felt quite comfortable making that move. And that's why one of the reasons probably I think that I didn't end up like enjoying over there because I felt like I made a mistake. So I head over to the Seattle, different team, different teammate, different league. And I was just not fully happy. So, you know, I had a tough year, my first year in Seattle, 2005. You know, I ended up having decent years after that. But I didn't fully felt like I was in the right place. Even though I had a great teammate and the fans were good to me, but I just didn't feel quite in the place I wanted to be.
Well, I understand that. And, you know, don't be too hard on yourself. You were very young when you got the opportunity to start this game. And when you had to change places also at a young age, that's an emotional that's an emotional issue. But you did get straightened away. You went to the Red Sox, and you had some terrific years there, some of your better years. And then where you really broke through is when you went to the Texas Rangers. It seemed like all of this seasoning that you had, all this experience, you were able to finally put it all out there when you got to Texas.
Yes, I think going through my downs in Seattle, it made me stronger mentally as a baseball player because I think I hit my low there because, you know, coming with a big contract and trying to justify that I was worth it didn't help mentally, and I didn't perform the way I wanted to. Coming off a great year with the Dodgers. So, you know, I got some hard times there in Seattle. But when I got to Boston, I just felt like, you know what, like went through that already. Like I just come here and play, just play the game. And that's what I did. And you know what? And besides that, I was put in the middle of the good lineup, you know, good lineup I was not the guy that had to be in the middle of the lineup hitting, doing everything. So that kind of helped to don't have that much pressure on me. And the experience that I had at that time, you know, I was already being more than 10 years in the big league. So that helped a lot. And, mm-hmm. you know, you're talking about going to Boston and going to Texas. You know, I went from a ballpark to play in the Dodgers for 7 years. Not a really great hitter's ballpark, as you know. And then you go to Seattle, which is even worse than L.A. But now I go to Boston and I go to Texas, two great ballpark to hit. So that gave me another extra confidence for me just to, you know, work on my swing and not trying to hit the ball so hard and just be consistent. And I think that kind of clicked with me altogether, you know, being in a good ballpark, have a good team, and have the experience about being, have them going through to highs and lows in my career. I think they'll click, and it was easier for me just to, you know, understand the game better and be more smart about the things that I need to be more consistent with.
Well, a 21-year career, you're going to have an opportunity to go through a lot of experiences, and you're going to meet a lot of teammates. Who were some of your better influences when you were making your way through your career?
Well, I have plenty, but I can mention couples. I can say that, you know, Sabis Caíno, the first one that kind of showed me the road. Devon White was really good to me. Marcus Gibson, my first couple of years in the big league here in L.A. Then I got Chung Green, one of the best teammates I ever had. Chung Green was a great teammate. Cesar Estudillo was a good teammate. Then I moved to Seattle. Raul Ibanez, one of the best teammates I ever had. You know, I got Felix Hernandez. You know, then I went to Boston, and I got there Victor Martinez, Big Papi, great teammates. I went over to Texas, you know, and that again, you know, I played with, you know, Michael Young, one of the best teammates you can ever have, but one of the best clubhouse guys that any young kid can have. Then I have Elvis Andrews, Ian Kinsler. You know, I was lucky to play in a good team with the great teammates that Ron, it makes it so easy for a player to come to the clubhouse and feel like you're home. Feel like you belong, feel like you're just playing with your brothers. And that's how I felt with those teams because, you know, it was a great atmosphere in the clubhouse.
Did you feel it? When did you feel like you were essentially one of the leaders of the team? Did that happen in Boston?
It happened in Seattle already. In Seattle, my last 2 years, I felt like, you know, I need to step up more as a leader. And we have a lot of veteran guys there that we together kind of run the clubhouse. And then in Boston, I was there as one of the leaders, but we have there Jason Bratek, David Ortiz, you know, guys that they've been in the big league for a long time, and they were, the veteran guys in the clubhouse. But they took me in as one of their helper. And I was with them. But, you know, once I got to Texas, it was when I kind of took more as that role of you know, leading the young guys and kind of show them how to be a good role model for any young kid and be the good ball player.
Did you feel good about that at that point? You know,
I did.
Becoming one of those guys where, you know, now they're relying on you and your experience and your play to help guide this?
I did. Definitely feel good in that position because it helped me to understand how to become a better leader. Because I went through my first 5-6 years as just standing back and looking how I want to be like when I get to my stage of being a leader. And I got some not great leaders that I did not want to lead that way. And I got some other ones that I said, you know what, I want to lead that way. So I took the good and the bad from players. And I was able to apply when I got the chance to be one of the leaders. And I always try to make the young guys comfortable because I know how important that is. Make it reliable, you know, be accountable to what you do, but be comfortable and have a conversation with anybody. So I always run the clubhouse with the open mind about, you know, we all the same and we can have a conversation. I'm not better than you, you're not better than me, but you know, at the same time, you have to know what you need to do to be ready for the game and understand that we're relying on you. But, you know, and that worked really well for me for my years that I was a leader for the young guys to be able to play well and understand what we expect of them.
Your best friends, who might they be in your game?
Man, I can pick four or five, but I would say Chung Green, Raul Ibanez, Felix Hernandez, Elvis Andrews, Mike Cuyon. I think was the guys that, you know, besides being a good teammate, we developed a good relationship outside the game.
Well, that's a pretty good group of friends. I will attest to that. Were you one of those guys, now that you're assuming a leadership role, that would call team meetings when you need to readjust things?
Yes. I was not a guy that liked to do that a lot because sometimes you didn't need to, but sometimes you just need it just to refresh your mind and get the guys to open up about what they're thinking. Because, you know, the team can be going through a bad stretch. But I might think there is something, but one of my teammates might think it's something different. And sometimes it's just to get it out there and speak about it and just starting from fresh. And I always open the club and open the conversation to see whoever wants to say whatever it is, to stay in house. But it was always a good time to get those guys to say whatever they think and trying to figure out what's the reason why we're going through that bad stretch.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's not something you want to have to do a lot, but there are times where you have to have these closed order player meetings to get things aired out and get things back in control. And it sounds like you did a pretty good job of that. We're going to return with Hall of Famer Adrian Beltre right after this message.
Love about spring? It's the season of change, and that means it's time for a closet refresh. Enter Kohl's. With the extra 15% off they have going on, I saved on the latest styles for my entire family, like a cute dress for myself, linen shorts for my husband, and spring jackets for my kids. Just add sunshine and we're set. All thanks to Kohl's. Select styles, some exclusions apply. 15% offer ends March 23rd. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Are you a fan of paranormal radio? Bigfoot, UFOs, ghosts, hauntings, cryptids, true crime? After Dark Radio with Brian Alvarez airs live on Sports Byline every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, talking all manner of the strange and unusual. From the latest news of the weird to interviews with the top names in the field, After Dark is your source for paranormal radio. Check it out, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, every Wednesday, live on Sports Byline USA.
Welcome to Staples.
I hear Staples prints it all for any business.
You bet, and we'll beat any print quote.
So if I had a pizza place...
Staples can print signs, menus, pizza boxes.
A landscaping business?
Oh, we can print yard signs, t-shirts, brochures.
How about a pizza / landscaping business? I'll call it Dough and Mo.
I like it.
Right now at Staples, get up to $250 off your print purchase. Ends 4/5, exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for offer details. Price match guarantee valid in store and staples.com/print. Visit staples.com/price match for details.
Spending is out. Loud budgeting is in. Finding more affordable ways to do the things you love is one of the growing trends on social media, and Metro by T-Mobile can help. Whether you're planning to invest your tax return, save it, spend it, or a combination of the three, you can improve your financial situation in 2025 with tips from finance expert Carlos Garcia.
Create a budget for 2025 using the 50-30-20 rule. 50% of your money goes to needs, 30% to wants, and 20% to savings and investments. Automate your monthly bills and your monthly savings. Split your bills for maximum savings with a family phone plan. Metro is offering new customers 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 phones and 4 lines for $100 with no ID required. That brings your phone bill down to $25 per person each month.
With Metro, customers enjoy perks like $5 movie tickets, 15% off Hilton stays worldwide, a free subscription to MLB TV, and Scam Shield protection, all powered by the nation's largest 5G network. Please visit metrobytmobile.com. Sponsored by Metro by T-Mobile.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
The fans are rooting for the Dodgers.
And we are back. We'll see about that with Ron Say. I am Mike Gary, and this week in Dodger history, presented by BFF Financial, Nolan Ryan. This is 1981, folks. Nolan Ryan becomes the first pitcher to throw five no-hitters when the Astros defeat the Dodgers at the Astrodome 5-0. The Ryan Express, who would finish his 27 major league year career with a record 7 no-hitters, previously has thrown hitless gems against the Royals, the Tigers, the Twins, and the Orioles. How good was Nolan Ryan?
Pretty good. He was a Texas Ranger, too. And I can tell you that I'm very glad that I did not play in that game. I was my only time on the DL. I had a broken bone in my arm from a hit pitch, and I was hopefully awaiting our appearance in the playoffs so I could return and play, which I did. But yes, I dodged the bullet.
No, you sure did. And, you know, from one Texas Ranger legend to another, Adrian Beltre, along those same lines, who are some of the toughest pitchers you faced in your career?
Oh, man, I got a few.
You know, I had a lot.
But, you know, I think the pitcher that gave me the hardest time to me, for me, it was, remember that Korean pitcher for Arizona, Byung-Byung Kim?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He was like underground 96 miles per hour.
Yeah, I didn't like those guys either.
Snyder, no, he was tough for me. I think I got like one hit in 27 at bat.
That's pretty good memory.
So, yeah, he was my daddy.
Yeah, the famously like sidearm grip.
Yeah, no. But not only sidearm, he was up in the mid 90s.
Yeah. Yeah,
looked like 100 from down there. He was untouchable, man. He gave me a hard time, but yeah. I got plenty other ones, you know, Randy Johnson, it was tough to hit, and got plenty other ones, but I think he was the number one for me.
Yeah. Well, I had a trouble with that guy that threw from down under too. His name was Kent DeCalvi. And it was more about style. And I just did not like seeing the ball come off his shoe tops. You know, it was hard to gauge that, you know, and the ball's darting around and he throws that four seamer from down there. You know, there's a lot of action coming back in on your hands. And I couldn't find a place in the box that I felt comfortable. I moved up, I moved back, I moved in, I moved out. I couldn't find a spot. And, he was my toughest guy. Regardless of whatever the statistics say, it was style. I want to get to a few questions that I want to get your take on today's game and how you think it's progressing. There's a lot of rule changes. I want to pick your brain with how you feel about these changes that are manipulating the game today. And one of the first ones I want to mention to you, and you can just rattle it off. How do you feel about the pitch clock?
I'm not a fan of the pitch clock. I'm just, you know, like in Ron, to be honest with you, that was one of the reasons why I kind of like retired a little earlier, because I wasn't too happy about the changes they were trying to make in the game. You know, I'm an old school type ball player. The game has been playing the same way for a long time, you know, for deep generations. And now it comes this theory, or, you know, I guess, I don't know who came up with it, that they were saying that the fans think the game is too slow, which is, I never heard any fans saying that, but, you know, you have to believe whatever they said. But I always believe that if you're a baseball fan, if you follow a team, you're going to the ballpark to enjoy the game and root for your team, root for your favorite player. And I don't think you're going to care if you leave 10 or 15 minutes late. You know, to change all these different part of the game is just, it's a little too much for me. I think the game was fine the way it was. I just don't understand like why I have to hurry up to, I get it. Some players take maybe too long, but like a pitch clock and now you're going to decide, you know, 3-2, like right now, this series we're playing against, the Dodgers playing against San Diego, which is a really critical series. You know, bases loaded, two out. The guy takes a little longer outside. Okay, you strike out. Are you not decide the game just based on the clock? It for me makes no sense. I'm not a fan of it. I understand that the game evolved. You know, you have to innovate. But I think I'm not a big fan. I'm not a big fan. I don't follow that. I don't. I'd rather just, you know, play the game the way it has been playing for 100 plus years.
Yes.
And if you think the game is a little long, you can leave early.
And Dodger fans now, do. They still leave early.
Yes,
yeah, exactly. You can watch it on TV.
And the funny thing is now, I was talking to one of the executives last month, and a lot of them were complaining because the fact that now the game's a little too fast, so they don't sell enough beers or alcohol.
Yeah, they only
sell
early.
To seven.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to close the stands of, you know, an hour and a half. So now they're not selling enough. Yeah. So it's just like weird. Like now fans are complaining. I go to the game, I pay so much money for parking, I pay so much money for a ticket, and then an hour and a half I have to start moving out.
Exactly.
Yeah, so no, I'm just not a big fan. I'm not against it, but I'm not a big fan. Yeah.
It seems to me that the reason they did this was not for the fans in the ballpark. They did it for the fans who are watching on TV so they can get more programming on the networks, more games on the networks, more money for the networks. And like Adrian said, something so critical about baseball is that such a big part of drama is anticipation.
Right.
And when you have that, you know, especially when it comes, you know, high pressure, high moments like that, you want to have that kind of let it breathe a little bit so you can really feel it.
Well, now that we've said all of that, this leads me to the next one, which is, you know, we have teams vying in the last few days for all these wild card spots, right? So now, during the regular season, when you go into extra innings, they put a cookie out there at second base for you. And to me, why would you want to just make it so easy? They don't have to earn much when you do that. And it's like most teams will play 10% of their games, as the statistics will tell you, which means 16 games you're probably playing in extra inning games. That's a lot of games. And considering the competition for these last few spots, I certainly don't want to have somebody having a runner down at second base to start out the extra innings. Not for me, anyway. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'm the same with you, Ron. I think it's a little too much. You're too easy. It just doesn't feel like a real baseball game. Like, how you justify that guy's in second base?
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't make sense.
No.
It doesn't make sense. It's the same way, too, with the pitcher now that comes in, a reliever, now that you have to face three batters. Like, it just throws away the managing part of the game.
Yeah.
You know, going back and forth. Now it gets complicated.
Yeah,
and I think the game it was fine the way it was, you know. So yeah, I'm with you. I just don't understand those ruling about putting, like you said, a cookie in second base and just make it easy for everybody else, because it's the same for everybody else. Okay, if the game is tied in ninth inning, figure it out how you need to pitch and figure it out how long this guy's gonna pitch. Figure out your bullpen because it's the game. Don't just like put it easier for that. I just don't.
Yeah.
Again, like I said, that's one main reason why I think, you know what, this is not for me. I'm going to go home and just be a dad and be a husband.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to the bullpen games. How do you like those?
Well, it depends. If I'm on the team, I'm a player. If I'm on the team that has a good bullpen, yes, I like to go to the bullpen. And for me, when I was playing, I always, when I would face, you know, guys like Randy Johnson, you know, Pedro Martinez, players like that, pitches like that, you want to get the bullpen early because you know you have a chance to win the game to get those guys out of there. But it still depends on which way you're looking at it.
Well, what my question, maybe I didn't phrase it correctly. What I'm talking about bullpen games is when you have a bullpen pitcher pitching one inning per game and it goes nine in, you got nine pitchers. Do you like those games? Yeah. To me, it's a glorified exhibition game.
Yeah.
I'm not in favor of it at all.
Not either. Yeah. Not either. No, I don't.
Okay. What about gambling in sports? Gambling in baseball. What's your take on that?
You know what? This is a good question because, you know, when I was coming up, 98, 99, that was a no-no. Like, it was no gambling in sport in the game. And, you know, it comes, you know, probably 4 or 5 years ago. I know it's like when we started then, like, it's completely okay. And they're pushing for you to do that. I've never been a gambler. I don't really gamble, but it's just a weird situation where like we're completely like against gamble, and then it become okay. I don't know how to feel about that, to be honest.
Well, I know how Pete Rose feels about it. Pete Rose says, "I wish I had an interpreter back then."
I heard that.
All right. What about the robot umpires? You know, the robots or the umpires have been in horrible grades on their performance. You know, we had one umpire who was asked to leave early.
Shown the door, you might say.
How do you feel about it? I mean, it seems like, you know, they're experimenting with it in the minor leagues. How do you feel about a robot umpire?
You know what? I'm not against it. I like the element of having a human body there. But for me, I understand that the umpire is going to make mistakes. You know, they're not going to be perfect. It's, you know, it's a 100-mile-per-hour fastball coming in, and sometimes you don't see it the way you should. And, you know, some guys are worse than others. You know, some guys are just guessing out there.
Yeah.
Which is not good. But the problem that I had when I was playing is it was the attitude of the umpire. Because you have some umpire, they think they own the game.
Exactly.
And they call whatever they want because they are the umpire. So you can't do nothing. I had some umpires to make some bad calls on me, you know. But the difference is, Ron, that, you know, I'll turn back and say, hey, you know, let's say the umpire name is Mike. Hey, Mike, that pitch was a ball. He comes back and say to me, you know what, Adrian, I think you were right. You know, my mistake. I'm okay with that because I'm expecting him to be perfect. But when you got a guy, you tell him, hey, you know, be nice, do be nice. You say, hey, I think the pitch was a little offside. And he comes to you and say with attitude, that's a good pitch. That's a strike. I'm going to be strike all day. And then you take the next pitch, and it's more outside than the one before. And he called it just because you complain about it. And he calls it and he looked at you like, what are you going to do now? So with that, I have a problem. And I think that's why maybe we needed a freaking robot out there to let you know exactly where the pitch is. Because I have an issue just with the attitude of some umpires.
Well, I think we all did. there were some that you could talk to, but I do understand that. Who knows what's going to happen in the future? The manipulation is probably going to continue, but we're winding down here, Adrian, and I want to thank you so much for being a part of our show today. You had a wonderful career. You're a household name in the Dominican. You're a role model to many. You've handled yourself extremely well, and I wish you nothing but success in the coming future. And once again, it's been great having you on the show, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Ron. And again, thank you so much for being so good to me when I was coming up. You're a role model to me, too, and all we can hear about third baseman with Ron Say. So when I got the first time to meet you and I see how humble, how nice you were, man, that means a lot. That's why I'm here today, to support your program and tell you thank you, too.
And that means a lot that you said that to me, Adrian. Thank you so much. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. That was Hall of Famer Adrian Beltre. And we'll be back. We'll see about that right after this. This is baseball's Ron Say. Nowadays, it seems like nothing is built to last. Phones, appliances, cars, computers, but the new Michelin Defender 2 tire is designed to outlast. With a quiet and comfortable ride, you will have the confidence you need on the roads, whether they're wet or dry. So goodbye to the short-lived and hello to something that lasts. Get your set of Michelin Defender 2 tires at Hank's Tires, 19951 Ventura Boulevard in Woodland Hills. Call my buddy Steve Goldberg at 818-340-4200. That's 818-340-4200. Hank's Tires is also built to last. Hank opened Hank's Tires in 1953, and we are the oldest tire and auto repair shop in the San Fernando Valley with 100% customer satisfaction. Hank's is AAA approved for all of your auto repair needs. Call Hank's Tires at 818-340-4200 and tell them Ron Say sent you.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924 Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Campy, just fine.
Okay, we have wonderful segment with Hall of Famer Adrian Beltre. Such a pleasure having this young man who accomplished so much in his career. Such a delight to have on the show. I want you to take a possible look at my website, the official Ron Say Show. The Penguin Power book is over there with multiple signing options. Also, a list and a roster of all of our podcast shows, where our guest and future guest as well, along with other things. And also visit me at the official Ron Say Instagram site.
Yeah, so. And if you're listening to this on a podcast, please give us a little rate, subscribe, and review. That really helps us. And Ron, do you want to eulogize the Oakland A's stadium? Because as of today, the Oakland A's stadium and the Oakland A's, that is, are no more.
Yeah, that's for sure. And, you know, it's been, I go back, obviously, a long ways in this game to the time where Charles Finley, you know, with all the innovations that he had, the colorful uniforms, the shoes, you name it.
Mustache-growing contest.
Right, the chaos that went along with it. But they accomplished a great deal, that three-peat championship back in the 1970s. Won't forget about that too easily, because we were the one on the third one end in 1974. So, yeah, I do remember that. And the Coliseum in Oakland has always been a tough place to have large crowds, but
possums
certainly
around.
Hope that all you A's fans can move gracefully on. I know it's painful.
Yeah, the A's for me are always the Bash Brothers, and of course the famous World Series with the earthquake. So,
yeah, and of course, the Coliseum just wasn't about the A's too. It was also about the Raiders.
Oh yeah, Al Davis.
What a crazy! All of it went with it. Yeah. So, well, you had a great run. You did have a great run. Anyway, I want to announce that that I finally had my occupational hazard catch up with me, which was all the arms and legs and whatever that I
the
use.
Battle
and
wounds.
I have a shoulder surgery replacement, right shoulder surgery replacement next week. So I will be back soon, but I will also be recovering. And Mike and I will be back shortly, within a week, and I want you guys to have a great weekend. Have a wonderful time, and we will see you next week. Thanks for joining us.